We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. Sports
update. Here's the update on this beautiful Monday morning, June 17th. According to multiple reports, defenseman Erik Karlsson has agreed to terms with the San Jose Sharks on an 8-year extension worth more than $11 million average annual value. Actually, Bob McKenzie said it could be $11.5 million a year
craziness
for Karlsson. Yeah, some craziness there. It has been reported that Dallas Eakins will be hired as coach for the Anaheim Ducks. Eakins was coach of the Ducks affiliate in San Diego for the past four seasons, qualifying for the Calder Cup playoffs three times. Eakins was also coach of the Edmonton Oilers for two seasons, from 2013 to 2015, going 36-63-14 in those two seasons. He came in right after Ralph Kruger in Edmonton. Forward Kyle Hagelin has signed a four-year, $11 million contract that has an AAV of $2.75 million a year with the Capitals yesterday. Hagelin had 19 points in 58 regular season games with the Caps, Kings, and Penguins this season, and had one assist in seven Stanley Cup playoff games for the Capitals. Defenseman Olli Maatto was traded to the Blackhawks by the Penguins on Saturday for forward Dominic Cahoon and a fifth-round pick in the 2019 draft. Maatto won the Stanley Cups with the Penguins in 16 and 17 and had 14 points, 116 block shots, and 97 hits in 60 games this past season. Cahoon had 37 points in 82 games with Chicago this season, which was his first in the NHL. Tune in to One Bills Live today from noon to 3, where Bills insider Chris Brown will get a chance to talk with former Bills linebacker Arthur Motes. And on Friday, the Bills were awarded the waiver claim for tight end Keith Towbridge. Towbridge was on Buffalo's practice squad for most of the 2018 season and was signed by the team as an undrafted rookie in 2017. Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open, and today's National Day, Rivs, is National Eat Your Vegetable Days, Global Garbage Man Day, National Apple Strudel Day,
Strudel.
That's like the sound of music, right? Your strudel. National Cherry Tart Day and National Stewart's Root Beer Day. I don't know what that is. And most importantly, yesterday was Father's Day, so happy belated Father's Day to you, Rivs,
yep,
and to all the dads out there. I had put this in the this or that, and before we get back to, you know, NHL Sabres, I made breakfast yesterday. The kids wanted to make me breakfast. I said, no. I like to be at the breakfast station and making the pancakes and the crepes and the bacon and the eggs and all of that. So I make myself a nice plate of pancake with maple syrup and homemade whipped cream. My daughter made some, whipped some up really quickly. It was really good. I had the bacon, I had the eggs. I was struggling with deciding what my last bite was going to be. Was it going to be bacon and eggs, the savory, kind of salty part of it? Or was I going to go with the last bite of the sweets with the pancakes, with the maple syrup and the whipped cream? So I'm asking you, just quickly, savory or sweet for your last bite when you're having a big meal like
can
that?
Can I ask you a question before I answer your question?
Always.
Do you have your pancakes on the same plate as your eggs and bacon?
Yes.
Okay, so this is where we are so different, the two of us.
Pancakes
do not go on the same plate as your eggs and bacon, because then you have soggy eggs because of the syrup that's seeking
into
the
eggs. Well, you don't have to, like, drench your pancake in syrup. You just put a good amount.
Again, that's where we're different. I am definitely going to go with my eggs and bacon first, a little ketchup on the eggs. I got to have the ketchup on the eggs.
Okay.
And then I'm following up with a nice buttery loaded syrup pancake.
Do you do the crepes or do you guys do the pancakes?
I like the pancake. I like the thick pancake, yeah.
Okay. Well, I did the thick pancakes yesterday. They were really good. I like doing the thin crepes too. And, you know, when I do it for the kids, it's a nice size. It's like almost your whole plate is covered in this thin crepe.
Yeah.
And then you put your either Nutella or brown sugar or maple syrup or whatever you want, and then you roll it up and you cut it, and it's like little rolls of pancake.
Yeah, but then I'm going to eat 20 of them.
That's what happens. You absolutely got to eat a lot of it. Okay, a little savory or sweet kind of talk here. I hope all the dads had a great, wonderful Father's Day yesterday, and now we can talk about more hockey Sabres. Every year, Rivs, there's patterns in the National Hockey League. There's, you know, when the Anaheim Ducks won the Cup, everybody wanted to be the Brian Burke, rough and tumble.
Big and physical.
Big and strong. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks win the Cup. You need skilled players, the Pat Kane and Jonathan Toews and the Duncan Keith on defense. And
Marian Hossa's
and Pittsburgh win the Cup on back-to-back years, and it's the same thing. You need a third line.
Yep.
You need a good third line. Nick Bonino, Carl Hagelin, Phil Kessel.
Yep.
You need a big third, like a really good third line. What have we learned from the Blues and the Bruins getting to the finals and the Blues winning the Cup this year? What's going to be the new pattern?
I would say physicality. The average body check, and I'm not 100% sure, but just hang with me here.
Yep.
The average body checks between the two teams in the regular season, I think, was around 35 or 37 hits per game.
Average per game.
Per game. In the playoffs, the average is combined 52 hits. In the finals, it's upwards of 76 hits. Those two teams basically smacked each other around with so much physicality that hence all the injuries on all these teams. But what do I take out of this year? When you look at the St. Louis Blues, they had great goaltending from a guy that makes what, $650,000 a year.
Yeah.
Who's been a minor leaguer.
Surprising.
Surprising. They had very big defense on St. Louis. All of them averaged anywhere from 6'4", 6'5", upwards of 6'6" with Parenko. They were very big. And their forward line, I don't think, When you take a look at their forwards in St. Louis, it's not like Tarasenko completely dominated the playoffs with his offensive ability. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember at the start of the playoffs, he was not very good. I mean, so their star-studded talent in Schwartz and Tarasenko played well, but only in certain series. Ryan O'Reilly, as much as he had 23 points throughout the playoffs, I mean, there was many games that I watched the St. Louis Blues. He was completely invisible, but he just seemed to somehow produce a goal or an assist at some point. My biggest thing is I was extremely impressed with the fourth lines on both teams, and I think Sundqvist, Steen, and Barbashev are a major, major, major reason why the St. Louis Blues were able to win the Stanley Cup. Because what happened is every team that played against the St. Louis Blues took their number one line and matched them up against Sundqvist, Barbashev, and Steen. And what did they do the entire playoffs?
Shut them down.
They shut them down.
Well, you took the words completely out of my mouth, because I'm looking at the stats this year for the National Hockey League. The Boston Bruins in hit given in the regular season were middle of the road. They were 15th in the National Hockey League. The St. Louis Blues were 24th in the National Hockey League. So when you look at the regular season, they were physical, but it's not like they were, you know, you look at the Vegas Golden Knights and the Pittsburgh Penguins were, you know, at 2,300 hits during the regular season, where St. Louis was at 1,600.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
The Buffalo Sabres were at 1,565 hits.
Where's the Buffalo Sabres?
27th. They were
27th in the National
Hockey
League?
They were 50 hits behind St. Louis for the whole season. Not even one hit a game when you consider that. Over 82 games, they were just 50 hits behind, about a half a hit per game less than St. Louis. But where St. Louis and where Boston really make a big difference is Boston's fourth line was Joachim Nordstrom, Sean Corelli, Nola Cherry, They had
Wagner.
Wagner on there as well. So you look at their fourth line, really has a line that you trusted in many different facets of the game. St. Louis, you pointed out, Steen Sundqvist. They had Barbashev. They had Samuel Blais. Sammy Blais on that
Samuel
line.
Samuel Blais, incredible. Incredible young. You know, listen, he's not going to go out and score you 30 goals a year, but I'll tell you, the way he played, the speed and the physicality and the jam that he brings to the game were huge components of the St. Louis Blues moving forward.
Last year, our fourth line with the Sabres consisted of either Zemgus Girgensson, Johan Larsson, maybe some Jason Pominville, some Scott Wilson out there. There was some...
we had Kyle Poso, we had Tage Thompson, we had Nylander, we had pretty much everybody.
There wasn't a defined fourth line. There wasn't a defined fourth line that you could say, we're going to start the game with that line and set the tempo.
Yep.
That you could say, we just gave up a goal. Hey, you guys are up. You guys are going out there really establishing the momentum. And I know some people, you know, around the league don't like to talk about momentum, but when you're sitting on the bench and
What people don't like to talk about momentum? I think momentum is a huge part of the game.
Yes, but it's a huge part of the game when you're playing the game. When you're sitting in the stands, when you're on a press box, you don't really feel that momentum in the same, maybe as this, in the same priority as maybe the players do. When you're sitting on the bench and you got scored, you have that feeling, oh, this is bad. Like we just gave up a goal and we're down 1-0. And then your next shift, you get to spend 45 seconds in the offensive zone, and you're hitting, and you're on the puck, it really gets that momentum right back.
Yep.
So those type of players, that type of line, that type of makeup in your team where you have an established fourth line, and they really are going to get you good minutes.
So an established fourth line, what does it consist of when you talk about an established fourth line? What is the mindset of all every one of those guys?
Well, there's different mindsets if you think about it, but one is they've got to be really hardworking on pucks, physical.
Extremely tenacious.
Yeah,
they
tenacious.
Know that they're not playing 18 minutes a night like the first and second line players on the team. The third line players on the team probably fit in around, anywhere from, 12 to 15 minutes a night.
Yeah.
And your fourth line on most teams will play under 10 minutes. So understand, the game is an hour long. It's 60 minutes long, and a fourth line generally plays about 10 minutes. So in that, you have to have the right player that understands his role and understands, I'm going to be playing 10 minutes a night. When I get on the ice, whether it's 12, 13 shifts a game or whatever it is, that every time I'm on the ice, I'm going to make a difference in my short period of time that I'm going to play. So it's going to be extremely high tempo. They're going to be usually defensively responsible guys, but they are going to be a highly physical energy line that is going to, I think, help drive the other top lines because of their pace and their tenacity and the way that they think. Their jobs are not the same as a first or second line. They're very different. And I believe that our fourth line last year basically played...
Early in the year, Larsson, Girgensons, we thought of them as our best penalty killer and our best energy guy. And then it really dropped. It dropped significantly, especially when the streak was over.
You mentioned at the start of the year, you mentioned that Larsson and Girgensson, you forgot one of the most key components of those guys. It was Jason Pominville.
Yes.
And who works harder than Jason Pominville? That line as a whole, as much as they were not huge guys, they were hard-working, tough to play against.
Yep.
We call them the fourth line. They weren't the fourth line. They were probably our second line at the start of the
season.
And
that's what you need to win a championship. You need a fourth line that you can rely on as much as you would rely on your second and third line to be able to handle a situation.
No question.
Either it is to play against top competition or get you very valuable minutes.
I mean, Jason Botterill has come out. He made a huge signing to get Jeff Skinner under contract. It's amazing for this team moving forward. He has expressed that there is discussions that are going to be had. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. He's expressed that, yes, he would like to try and find a second line center. A lot easier said than done. Yes, he would like to try and find another top six forward, which is absolutely what this team needs, because we didn't even have a second line last year. Yeah. I'm happy that Jason Botchell's stating that. But at the same time, we have to think of our fourth line too, where you might have a lot of change on the fourth line this year.
Well, this will lead into our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports, where you can buy, sell, or trade brand new and used equipment on McKinley Parkway. Here is our little graphic and music coming in for the buy-sell trade. The Blues or the Boston Bruins will be back in the 2020 finals. So one of the two teams that were in the finals this year will be back in the finals in 2020. Buy, sell, or trade.
I have never been so confident in this buy, sell, trade. 100% neither team will be in the finals next year.
So you're selling this. 100%
I am selling this. Because, I mean, there is a tremendous amount of very, very good teams that I think got knocked out early. And I'll tell you right now, the Vegas Golden Knights are a team that everybody should be weary of in the Western Conference. The San Jose Sharks are a team that I believe are in win mode now. And if they're healthy next year, which they were not this year, if they're healthy, that is a team that is going to be a extremely tough team. I want to talk about the Calgary Flames, who is the number one team in the Western Conference. You know what they had? Know what the problem with their team was last year?
Goaltending.
Youth. They did not have enough guys that had been in tough situations before, and they don't have a team that played a lot of playoff games. But I'll tell you right now, they took something from their loss this year, their second round loss. Or was it a first round loss? They're going to take something from that. And I'll tell you, they're going to be a very tough team from the West.
It's funny how you're talking about the West, because I think the Blues may have the best chance out of those two teams. At the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're looking at the Washington Capitals,
is loading up.
So I'm thinking the Bruins are the less likely team to make it back to the finals, and that the Blues could get there because a full year of Bennington.
Zdeno Chara is 42 years old. Patrice Bergeron is an older player, mid-30s. At some point in time, the wheels, the legs, just don't seem to move the same.
No,
David
absolutely.
Krejci has put a lot of miles on his body. David Backes probably won't be back next year. They're going to have to maybe buy him out, right?
They might
buy him out. But if they do buy him out, that's going to affect their cap and money spent moving forward. I don't see the Boston Bruins getting back to where they are. I think there's too many powerful teams in the East, and St. Louis, I don't think, has any chance whatsoever of doing what they did, because I believe that Jordan Binnington next year is going to come back to planet Earth.
Well, I don't know if Bennington will come back to planet Earth, but we got to just quickly mention again that Erik Karlsson is signing his 8-year extension with the San Jose Sharks, and reports now have said that it's going to be about $11.5 million a year. Frank Saravalli with TSN just said that the Sharks are now locked in at $26.5 million for just three defensemen: Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Over the next 6 seasons. It's not like you got a year or two to deal with spending $26.5 million on three defensemen. For the next 6 seasons, they will be spending $26.5 million on three defensemen. On deadline day, as Frank Saravalli wrote, only three teams, Pittsburgh Penguins, the Hurricanes, and the Sharks, were spending that on their entire defense corp. Entire defense corp, not just three. On their 7 or 8 defensemen, and the Sharks were tops at 30.
Go look at my board in the back. I have the salaries for all our guys. I think we have 8 guys under contract right now.
And defense.
I think the sum is like $22 million. So in three players in San Jose equates to 26.5.
Yeah.
In Buffalo, we have eight defensemen that equate to I think it's around 22.
That is that you talk about a team that says they want to win now.
Yeah.
We talked about Doug Wilson, the general manager of the San Jose Sharks, and during the break, you asked me. You said, "How old is Doug Wilson?" Oh, well, looked it up. 61 years old. You know how many years he's been the general manager of the San Jose Sharks?
I know, a long time.
16
long time.
Years. He came on board in 2003. He doesn't care where this team is going to be in 5 years from now and six years from now with the salary cap troubles. He wants to win and win now. The Sharks have been to the conference final.
And they've been close.
They've been to the Cup. They lost to Pittsburgh in the Cup finals 3 years ago, I believe it was. So you're looking at Doug Wilson. He's not in the same boat as Jason Botterill is with the Buffalo Sabres. Doug Wilson is in his last few years. He wants to win now. Jason Botterill is hoping to be here as a general manager for 15, 20 years.
You know what I'd love to see? I don't know if people really, it's amazing how many trades every single year the San Jose Sharks have made to give them an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Do you know that they've been in win mode since like 2005?
Well, do you look back? So the Erik Karlsson was the big one, the last one. Before that was the Evander Kane trade. That was a big one for them. Before that, who did they acquire? Well, Brent Burns was a big one when they got him from Minnesota. He's been here, or he's been in San Jose for a few years, but that was a big one as well. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It almost looks like the San Jose Sharks are rolling the dice every year now, hoping that they get the right
number.
When I got
traded in 2007-2008 season, we were the favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That was in 2007.
12 years
ago. I mean, every year since then, which has been 10, 12 years, they have been a team that has been right there as a possible Stanley Cup winner. And they've come close. They lost out to Pittsburgh in the finals a couple years ago. They've had a very, very tight core of players on that team. Every year they're making big trades, whether it's Evander Kane, whether it's, you know, an Erik Karlsson. They made a blockbuster for Brent Burns. I mean, they have always really gone out and been very, very aggressive. You look at their team now. I believe that Doug Wilson feels that they right now are in win right now because, you know, Joe Pavelski, 36, not getting any younger. I think that they need him. I think they believe he's got another year or two left in him.
Logan
Couture is 30 years old. He's not getting any younger. They've got a very mature lineup with Brent Burns and Karlsson. And I believe that they're in win right now. They are going to do whatever it takes. They don't have a first rounder this year. They don't have a first rounder next year. They don't have a second rounder in 2019. Like they've depleted everything that they had to try and win the Stanley Cup. And I believe with this signing for Erik Karlsson is showing them that they are going to really push forward to try and win the Stanley Cup. So with this signing with Erik Karlsson, who is going to have a summer of rehabilitation and to get healthy, if he's healthy for next year, this is going to be a very, very tough team to play against.
We started the show today talking about how the phones are ringing, and it appears as though Jason Botterill is inquiring about a lot of players, a lot of teams, and looking to make his roster stronger through trades. Well, when we come back here on The Instigators, we're going to list about four or five players that have been rumored to be traded, and maybe the Old Man Riverboat Casino will make an appearance with some odds on those players landing with certain teams here on The Instigator, WGR 550 and MSG.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back here on The Instigator. No Andrew Peters, as he is either celebrating the Raptors' win at the parade.
Parade going on right now in TO.
Stay safe out there in Toronto if you're tuning into The Instigators here while you're driving around trying to get to the parade or the celebration. But I think if you're driving around right now, you probably will not make it because there is a lot of people out there. People slept over there. People spent the better part of the last day and a half sleeping where the parade was going to be so they'd have a good look. Anyway, it's just me, Marty Biron, and Craig Rive, filling in for PD. I just put my breakfast station on Twitter.
I just liked it.
You liked it?
I'm so hungry right now with all the pictures you're showing me of your
little pancake, bacon, eggs on the the flat skillet there.
Do you like poached eggs?
Never really made poached eggs.
So you put them in one of those little plastic. Put a little butter in there, and then you put the egg in there, and you get a little salt and pepper, maybe a little seasoning, and then you heat up the pan that's so thick, and then put those cups in, then cover it, and I love it. That's my favorite egg.
Yeah, I don't really make that. I'm a big over easy sunny side up type egg guy.
You toast dip in the sunny side up or
no? No, the juice has to flow all over the plate.
How are you scooping up the juice?
After the fact, you put your toast. But people like to dip it right into the yolk, right in the middle of it. So I don't like that. But anyway, listen, let's turn our attention to some potential trade ideas or trade bait. There's some players being discussed all over social media, Twitter. The insiders are talking about them. And we'll use this to kind of do a little bit of a old man riverboat casino.
Yep.
And have some odds or maybe some... Here it is, the old man riverboat casino graphics are coming through. By the way, this is one of your better pictures. The bow tie, the vest,
yep,
the
looking
cards.
Good. Yep, got looking, a little scruff on there too.
Looking really good. I love it. So Michael Ferland. Carolina Hurricanes' Michael Ferland was traded from Calgary to Carolina, was a physical player for the Carolina Hurricanes, a big part of them.
Yep.
So Pierre LeBrun tweeted, there haven't been any real discussions since the season ended between the Hurricanes and pending unrestricted free agent power forward Michael Ferland, which seems to strongly suggest he's headed to the July 1 market or at least to the June 23rd UFA speaking period. I think Ferland would like to keep Carolina as an option, but I am hearing from other teams certainly appears to be in the cards right now.
Yes.
So what are the odds that Michael Ferland gets to the July 1 free agency period and explores his option as opposed to re-signing with Carolina?
I think he will explore. I think he is in a situation that he needs to see what's out there with other teams that are in the National Hockey League. I think that would benefit him very well. Carolina Hurricanes are probably in a situation where they might want to look at signing this player before July 1st. He's a 6'1", 215, 20-pound player that really plays the game with physicality. He is a third-line winger.
Yep.
I do not think he's a top six forward.
How many points does he get you a year?
The last 2 years, he's had 40, 41. He's a 21-goal scorer two years ago. Last year, he was 17.
But the issue is you're getting a 40-point guy, a 20-goal guy, maybe like 17, 18, 20-goal guy. You're going to be paying a lot of money for him at the free as a free agent,
so
right?
You're looking at, what, $4.5 million for a player like him?
$4.5 million,
maybe. I don't know if I'd be going north of $5 million. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, $4.5 million for what he is, the skill set and what he's going to bring to your team. Most likely the team that goes after a Michael Ferland is a team that needs some size.
Does
they need some heaviness. They need some physicality. And if you're asking me, Buffalo Sabres should be kicking the tires on Michael Ferland because that's what they need more than anything. Don't get me wrong. We want to continue to build high-end, skilled hockey players, but you have to have you can't have all four lines that play the same style. You have to have players like Michael Ferland that is going to bring some physicality that he knows on every given. You don't have to go and tell Michael Ferland to go and hit.
No.
You don't have to tell him to go out and add energy. That's what he's done since he was a young kid. And now he's playing in the National Hockey League, and he still has the skill set. Don't ask Michael Ferland to go score you 30 goals.
So if I tell you 10-1 odds he stays with Carolina, do you take that bet or no?
I don't believe that he is going to sign
with
Carolina.
So you're taking the other way around. Look, this is a guy that got traded from Calgary to Carolina. Now, Carolina may not re-sign him. There's a bit of a red flag there, too, when you've done to three organizations, possibly, in 3 years. That could be a little red flag. Next guy.
What do you mean? Why is there a red flag? Like, for an example.
Well, they traded Elias Lindholm
to
Calgary.
When did Elias Lindholm sign?
After the trade.
Right after the trade?
Yeah. Didn't he, like, get traded and then sign his deal right after that? That was a big thing.
Or did he sign throughout the season?
I'd have to look it up, but I was under the impression that Elias Lindholm wasn't going to sign with Carolina, so they traded him away, and Calgary was willing to part Michael Ferland.
Let's just say that he signed before the season to a long-term contract, and it is an incredible, incredible contract for Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Because he went out and had 70-plus points this year, and he's making, what, $4.75 million a year?
So Elias Lindholm signed on July 16th
of
2018. So he signed after he was traded, so before the season started. It was
$4.85
million.
$4.85. Tell me how many points he had this year. 78 points?
He had a whopping 78 points. This
is ridiculous.
27 goals,
Listen,
78
he,
points.
That contract right there is incredible. And you know what?
He had 44 points the year before.
You know what Carolina didn't do? Is they didn't try and sign Michael Ferland, so you know he doesn't reach unrestricted free agency. Now he's in a situation where why would you? If you're an unrestricted free agent, why sign with your current team unless they're going to overpay you and not allow you to get the unrestricted free agency?
Well, there was a situation with Jeff Skinner we talked about, and the Sabres may have overpaid Jeff Skinner just so that they weren't going to lose that type of player.
Yes.
Carolina, their ownership over there is very tight and very stingy.
Okay.
They did not want to pay Elias Lindholm. They traded him to Calgary.
How's that working out for you?
Well, but Ferland's a very good player. May not want to overpay him as well, so they may let him walk. Nikolai Ehlers, Winnipeg Jets. Nikolai Ehlers.
I like him a lot. He's been on my board. If anyone wants to know, Nikolai Ehlers has been on my board.
He's not there right now, but he was there at some point. Let me just read this. A few sources have suggested that Cap Crunch, Winnipeg Jets, are listening to offers on Nikolai Ehlers, among others. The speedy winger, 23. Has
23 years old.
Six more year at $6 million cap it. If Winnipeg did not move him, it would be for a defenseman, so they could protect themselves against a trade of Jacob Trouba, which we'll talk later, or potentially losing Tyler Myers to free agency. Nikolaj Ehlers, the odds that he stays with Winnipeg.
Right from the get-go, do not believe that Nikolaj Ehlers will be with the Winnipeg Jets. And the reason why I say that is you have to sign Tyler Myers, which they're trying to do right now.
Yep.
They have to sign Kyle Connor, mm-hmm. who is a 30-goal scorer 2 years in a row now. And he is the real deal, that young man. Also, Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine, as much as he had a crappy season last year with only 30 goals, this is a 21-year-old sniper that has a long way to continue to mature as and try and evolve into more than just a simple goal scorer. And I don't think that they want to get rid of Patrick Laine.
No. Nope.
So in your
lineup,
they
have to sign Jacob Trouba too. They may trade him, but you consider
they're most likely going to move him.
But if you move him, you're going to acquire somebody that's making some money.
Yeah, or basically someone who is like that player, but on a lesser contract. And mm-hmm. you know, you have Winnipeg that already has Blake Wheeler making 8.25. You have Mark Scheifele under the greatest contract in the NHL at 6.1. Brian Little's making almost 5.3 million. Yep. Perreault making 4.1. The reality is they don't have the money to keep Nikolaj Ehlers because they still have to sign some guys that I think they want back in the
lineup.
They only
have seven forwards that are signed for next year right now. So you have to at least get another six forwards to make it a 13 usually. And that includes, as you pointed out, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connors. They are tight.
Yes.
Very, very
yes,
tight.
They are. And, you know, I mean, at some point you have a Nikolaj Ehlers who I think is extremely, extremely, extremely interesting player for us. He was drafted ninth overall in the 2014 draft. He is a proven goal scorer. He's 6 feet tall.
Smaller proven guy. He plays a game a little bit smaller with skills.
He plays it with speed. He's a 6 foot player, 175 pounds, but he is a bottle rocket. He is tons of speed. He's had a few great seasons. 2016-17, he had 25 goals and 64 points. The next year, he had 29 goals and 60 points. And last year, he had 37 points, 21 goals, but he was injured. He only played 62 games last year. He was injured for, I think, a large part of that season. So you almost have to – he had 21 goals in 62 games. This is a proven goal scorer with a very, very young resume.
23.
He's only 23 years old. I think that this guy in a couple – when this guy's 25, 26, he's still going to be under contract.
And he can play with a dynamic player, and we've seen him being able to keep up with the pace of the game.
Let me tell you something right now.
Push the pace of the game.
I'll tell you this. Jack Eichel is extremely fast. Nikolaj Ehlers is faster than Jack Eichel.
Did Ehlers play with...
He is a rocket.
Did he play with Nathan MacKinnon in Halifax in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League?
That's
I believe
a good
those two played together over there, but anyway.
No, Jonathan Drouin played with Nate MacKinnon.
Yeah, but I think Ehlers may have come right after them or some close to that. But anyway, another Winnipeg Jets that is being rumored, and we just talked about him, is Jacob Trouba. So here in my little notes, it says, the Rangers and Islanders are among the most aggressive teams in pursuit of Jets defenseman Jacob Trouba. So that was from, I believe, the New York Post. The Devils were also in the chase. So what are the odds Jacob Trouba plays in New York State next year? So we're talking Sabres, Islanders, Rangers. Riverboat Casino.
I just think that every single solitary team in the league would love nothing more to have Jacob Trouba in their lineup.
Do we have room for Jacob Trouba here in Buffalo, or do we have to really alter and do a roster surgery to fit a Jacob Trouba here?
We have room for Jacob Trouba, but the only way Jacob Trouba is coming in is unless you move him for Ristolainen.
Okay.
It would have to be almost like basically a one-for-one. You have a Rasmus Ristolainen who's 24 years old, who's making $5.4 million. That is a glorious contract for a top three defenseman on any team. Jacob Trouba, I think, has probably a little bit more of an upside point-wise. He skates extremely well. He plays a big physical game, 6'3", 200-plus pounds.
Was on a one-year, $5.5 million contract last year, basically.
Yeah. You're
bet on himself.
And I'm going to tell you this. He came. He had a 50-point season last year. I think Jacob Trouba is going to have whoever he's traded to is going to be signing a long-term deal, and you're going to be easily north of $8 million for Jacob Trouba.
Well, he would be obviously somebody that we have to watch because all the signs point that he may get traded in the East, Rangers, Islanders. Those are teams that will be competing with the Sabres for hopefully a playoff spot next year. We'll take a quick break here, and we have one last segment left on this Monday morning here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Want to remind everybody there's a draft party coming up on the 21st at Harbor Center, 6:30. The Instigators, we will be there. I think Danny Gare, Brian Gionta will be there. So Andrew Peters will be there. He's not here this morning. So come and meet us. I think there's a lot happening around the arena on that day. So come and meet us. 716 Instigator swags, prizes, tons of things. And we'll be watching the first 10, 15 picks and having some instant analysis there. Talking about the draft, on Sabres.com right now, part one of a three-part series about the draft. Today we look, Brian Duff and I, look at the number seven pick. What can the Sabres do at number seven? So we are looking at players like Dylan Cousins.
You want to know what I want to do?
I know what you want to do, but nope. Kirby Dach, Trevor Zegras, Cole Caulfield. We're looking at the prospects.
Yep.
What do you want?
What do I want to do, Marty?
You're a dealer. You're a dealer and maker.
And you don't see this very much in the NHL draft, especially with the top picks, but I would love to get to number three. I would love nothing more to trade up and get to number three.
What do you do to get there? You got to trade your seventh overall pick.
So you're going to trade your seventh.
Swapping your seventh for third.
Yep.
What else do you
give? And you're going to give probably an asset that is maybe a prospect in the minors or someone on your roster.
Who do you want at three? That's the thing. Who are you so high on at number three after Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko?
Turcotte.
Okay.
Turcotte. He to me is the most interesting young man. I listening to the watching clips on him play. I also really enjoyed listening to him speak with Brian Duff. I thought the interview was absolutely incredible. Very, very calm, strong, well-spoken young man. I think that he's a special player.
Let's see. Maybe they make a deal or not. Maybe they stay at seven. There's good players available at seven.
There's a lot of good players out there. Com.
Check it out. Part one of the pre-draft series. And When Bills Live is coming up next year on MSG and WGR 550. Thanks, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.